Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Thursday edition live here. Ruben is fist pumping at the top of every hour. He is hyped up. Great job by him setting us up here at Merido in merchandise, the Gallery Club. Ruben, you should fist pump less and fix this echo in my ear.
Yeah, we got an echo, baby.
Sean Shreve, RJ Choppy, and our Bobby Belt. Cowboys Ravens Sunday on this station. Babe Laufenberg will join us at 8:40, but you got me a little worried.
Okay.
With your gambling tip. Because I think it means you're saying the Cowboys are losing this game.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a great feel in the game, but I'll tell you this. You know, the Ravens are still in Vegas, a favorite to make the postseason. You have to bet $132 to win $100.
It's the rest of the division.
Yeah, they're also the favorites in the division still in Vegas.
Oh.
They have a, let's see, they have a very, very high percentage chance to win the division. They have a 38% chance to win the AFC North. That is the number. That is the highest percent chance of anyone in the division. So that's plus 160. That's at FanDuel. On DraftKings, they're plus 210. But so they still, even in that game against the Raiders, they had a 94.5% chance to win that game. That was the win expectancy. They blew the 10-point lead midway through the fourth. So they have a 63% chance of making the playoffs, which would put their value at minus 175. So they are a heavy favorite still to make it. This is despite having the fifth most difficult remaining schedule in the NFL.
Dude, the next 3 weeks are brutal for them.
Yeah,
they were doing a topic on TV yesterday. Will the Ravens start 0-5?
I mean, look, you have to put in the possibility category. They're playing difficult teams.
I mean, they'll be at least 1-4 at the very least.
What are the teams?
Dallas on the road, Buffalo at home, Bengals on the road.
It's tough. I will say this, and this is one thing that is never gets discussed outside of gambling circles. Like, this never gets discussed. The Ravens have the largest net rest edge in the NFL the rest of the way.
Okay.
So they have 16 days of rest advantage over their remaining opponents if you combine them all.
Hmm.
All right? That's according to Warren Sharp.
Oh, the Warren Sharp, the low-key Ravens consultant who doesn't disclose that ever.
Oh, is he?
Yep.
Okay. Well, all right.
Kind of an unethical individual, isn't he?
I don't know. Under John Harbaugh, they have won 81% of their games with a rest edge of at least 3 days. And they've got 16 days of rest edge against the rest of their opponents. Now, obviously, if they go 2-1 during this three-game stretch, that puts them at 2-3. And at 2-3, they'll probably be within a game of Pittsburgh. I don't think Pittsburgh's going to go out there and start 5-0.
So The Athletic had their, like, they do their analytics model update every week of, like, projections and simulations of what the playoff odds are. Ravens are third best odds to make the playoffs on their model in the AFC North. So they've actually got them behind Cincinnati at 41%.
Okay.
And then Cincy's 44%. And then Pittsburgh right now is at 57%.
And this is through who?
The Athletic.
Okay.
So it's their analytics guy, model where he simulates the season.
So from a betting standpoint, though, your best bet would not be for them to make the postseason. It would be to win the division, because the division is the winnable one, because obviously Cincinnati's 0-2, Cleveland is 1-1, Pittsburgh's 2-0, but that's the most fraudulent 2-0 that anyone's ever seen. So it's almost like they're 10-0 a couple years ago. So anyway.
Why is it fraudulent? Because it's defense-based?
It's just not sustainable. Like, are they going to sustain not scoring touchdowns and winning games?
I mean, in this era, like, I mean, the way the season started off.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, would they be 2-0? Let's just say would they be 2-0 at any other stretch in the season? Like, outside the first 2 weeks, because obviously offense is down early in the NFL. Like, if this was week 9 and 10, would they be, you know, the same? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I don't think so, because the offense should be humming by then.
There were, in the first 2 weeks of this season, there have been 7 victories in the NFL where a team scored fewer than 2 touchdowns.
Wow.
And we didn't get to 7 of those victories until week 6 last year.
Wow. Mm.
It's a dead offensive
period. It is. So there you go. Bet the Ravens.
Bobby, what other game homework have you been doing?
So NFL Pro is the...
You're betting the Ravens for the playoffs.
For the playoffs.
All right.
The new upgraded NFL stats model and NFL Plus, which is the old NFL Game Rewind where you could watch tape and stuff like that. They've leveled it up this year, and they've started integrating next-gen stats and different insights and things like that. So they had a number of insights for this Cowboys-Ravens game based on the analytics. Number one, the Cowboys have contacted opposing rushers behind the line of scrimmage on 31% of carries this season. That is the 4th lowest rate in the NFL, which means they are not touching the running back until he gets past the line of scrimmage on 7 out of every 10 carries.
Oh, my.
They're not penetrating the backfield. They're not being disruptive. They are one of the least disruptive teams at the line of scrimmage when it comes to the run game. Number two, let's talk about the offensive side. The Cowboys as a team have managed to generate more rushing yards than expected on just 20.5% of their carries this season. That is the lowest rate in the NFL, which means they are getting the least amount of bang for their buck in the entire NFL among rushing teams.
And they're fine at running back, dummy.
Yeah, they're fine. I mean, I don't even know what I was talking about. Why did I even ask that question? I mean, they're totally fine there.
Stick to golf.
Stick to golf. You know, I'm going to go. That guy's got a putter over there. I'm going to go take his putter. Is that Lee? Lee Trevino? No. I'm going to go take his putter, and I'm going to go start putting.
Dak Prescott did not complete any of his 3 attempts and threw an interception when targeting CeeDee Lamb on vertical routes in week 2 against the Saints. Dak and Lamb were one of the most successful duos in the NFL on vertical routes last season. The Ravens allowed a 31% completion percentage on such routes last year. That was the 2nd lowest in the NFL. CeeDee so far this year is just 43 yards on 37 routes run from the slot. And he was the most, like, one of the most effective slot runners in the NFL last year. He's way down this year. And that might be an area where they're going to be able to take advantage, because this notes that the Ravens have allowed the 2nd highest success rate in the NFL on routes run from the slot. And the only team that's worse than them is the Commanders. Number 5, Dak Prescott has had trouble finding open receivers past the sticks this season. 13 of his 30 attempts past the first down marker have been in tight windows. That's 43% and the 2nd highest in the NFL, so not a lot of separation, it doesn't sound like. The Cowboys have used spread formations on 43% of plays this season. That is the highest rate in the NFL. This is kind of a fascinating one here. Without Jake Ferguson, the Cowboys used 10 personnel, which is a running back, no tight end, 4 receivers. Used 10 personnel in 16 plays in week 2. That's twice as many as any other offense in a game this season. Nobody has done more than the 16 that Dallas did in week 2. Wow.
And Ferguson practiced yesterday. Mozzie Smith had to leave practice. No Lamb, no Diggs, but every reporter saying those two should not be a major concern.
No, the expectation is that they're fine. It was more just kind of a precaution and a rest thing.
So, Ferg this week?
Yeah, Ferg should. I think the expectation is Ferg is going to play this week. The Cowboys defense, this is the last note here, and this was wild. I texted to you guys last night. The Cowboys defense has used base personnel, so 4-3-3 linebackers, on more plays through 2 games this season. They've done it 57 times than they did all of last year under Dan Quinn.
Isn't that opposite of what you were saying Zimmer's supposed to be?
Was what, 3 down line, 3 linebackers?
Just complex looks, or
no? I don't think having
different.
Well, they're never in 3rd and long, Sean.
Well, that's no, the right. 3 linebacker, like, you can still be the coverage schemes are still complex. It's just the personnel. They're not. It's odd that they're using, or not odd. It's just they did not use 3 linebackers very often last year. It's still the coverages and the way they're lining them up is unique. It's just the personnel. 3 linebackers is not as common in the NFL anymore, and it definitely wasn't common here in Dallas last year, that they've already blown 20 plays past that.
More concerning, a team running it like the Ravens right up the gut, or a team like the Saints getting out on the Cowboys' perimeter?
Ooh.
Which one's more susceptible? Which one's scarier?
Oh, I'm more scared by the guys getting outside, because theoretically you could break them. Right? Inside, it's more log jammed with
more
players.
I don't know that they have anybody that can give any resistance on the interior right now. So, I mean, if they want to run it straight up the gut, they could.
Yesterday we saw what happened with Jordan Phillips. They put him on IR, a player that everyone on social media with the film review blasted, said he didn't really belong. So they're like, you got a wrist injury. And Jordan Phillips told reporters, no, I don't. I'm not hurt. I'm ticked off about it. It's above my pay grade. But that's my question. A team running outside, a team running inside against this defense.
Yeah, I mean, look, the edges were really difficult for them last week against New Orleans. But, I mean, if you want to talk about just no ability to stop or give any sort of resistance, that's the interior right now. And that's the way Baltimore likes to line it up and run it right up the gut with Derrick Henry.
Bobby did a show last night with a guy who maybe they should just throw out there for the hell of it. Tyrone Crawford with the Cowboys Players Show. And the fellas asked him last night on The Fan. Wait, was that on The Fan?
It was on KRLD last night because we had Rangers baseball.
Is coach or player leadership more necessary after big losses?
I believe coaches can only do so much, you know, like the guys in the locker room have to, you know, hold other guys in the locker room accountable. And I don't think it just needs to be the captains or the leadership council or the leadership group. I think it needs to be everybody. You know, if the young guy needs to step up and say something because it's on his heart, I think he needs to say it. You know, like Jay Lou, if he wants to say something, I know that man's heart. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I know that man has the dog's heart. You know what I'm saying? I know DeMarcus has the dog's heart. Mm-hmm. You know, I know those guys on that defense have the dog's heart, and I know they're saying that right now. I know they said that after that film, and I know this week is going to be different for them boys because I know their heart. You know, I know their heart on the defense, and so I'm excited to see them, and I'm excited to see that offense go too because I know Dak's heart and I know Zach's heart. You know, I know those boys are dogs, and they're not about to just let people run over them like that.
In the commercial break, you were telling us how super impressed you were with Nate Newton, him and Everson Wall, because I asked you, are they watching all these games? Are they there start to finish? I didn't know if I got the impression Charles Haley was as invested. He might be. I don't know. But you said Nate is, and he spits fire.
Yeah, no, Nate and Everson both are guys that watch every game. And Nate is... like, Nate is not just, like, watching the game. Nate's sitting there, and, like, he's already looking ahead to Baltimore. He's studying their roster. He's doing things. Like, Nate is really still, like, a student of the game. And he was talking about it last night. He's like, man, this is just – they've got a – I hate using this kind of descriptor, this sort of criticism, but it's like there are times you watch it where it looks like they don't want it. Like there are guys on that defense at times who just don't look like they don't want it. But, I mean, the defensive tackle play was what Nate was really concerned with. Like, they're just blowing guys off the ball.
And then the fellas asked Tyrone Crawford the question that Bobby kind of asked Jerry Jones with us on Tuesday. Do players feel the magnitude of big losses when a coach like McCarthy's on the hot seat?
Maybe not necessarily feel it on the players, but we do feel for the coaches. And we notice it, you know. Say we have a big loss, you know, the facility – there's the energy, you know, everyone feels the energy, and, you know, in meetings, everybody feels the energy. Coaches are a little bit more intense, even when it's only game two, you know, as it gets later in the season and things might be still rocky, a little shaky later in the season, then yeah, you know, it gets even worse. But, you know, obviously you don't want to see, you know, the coaches that you've grown to love get fired or, you know, anything happen to them in that sense.
And that's the thing, is that this is what Tyrone Crawford went through his last real season in the NFL. He played in 2020, but that was the COVID year. It was a little, it was just an odd year. But in that 2019 season, Garrett was in the last year of his deal, and every loss was a big deal. And he talked about it there. That's why I was curious what Jerry thought, is because you hear it there from Crawford. He's like, you feel it in the meeting room. Like there's an energy that shifts in the building when that's the circumstance.
The guy does look like Lee Trevino.
He does. I don't think I could tell you who Lee Trevino is or what he looks like.
We should put up five different golfers to see if Bobby can identify.
Oh, it's a great idea. It's a fantastic idea.
Sound like Peyton out here. although Peyton's a golfer, right? Pepe?
Once every 7 or 8 months. So
okay,
better than Bobby.
You blew us off for love of the star to do that. And then Brian blames me for not
That's right.
I wouldn't bait him on that topic now
if I
were you. Uh-huh. He's got the grenade. Rangers win, and do you eat as weird as a Dallas Cowboy? Then Babe Laufenberg, see if he can recover from the trivia disaster last week at 8:40. It's all next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
First pitch to Garcia. Hit deep to left. Schneider back at the track. He leaps. It's out of here.
Lee breaks the scoreless tie. A two-run home run, and the Rangers are in front here in the bottom of the sixth.
Sandman with the call, and you're home for Rangers baseball. Garcia hits the two-run homer, and Cody Bradford pitching seven strong after the worst start of his career. Rangers beat the Blue Jays 2-0. They're still alive.
Still alive.
They're still technically alive, trailing the armpit by 9 games with 10 to play, 7 games back in the wild card race. Bradford allowed 5 hits, no walks, while striking out 6, the 7 shutout innings, the most in a game during his 2-year career. And that was right after he allowed career highs in hits, 9 runs, 8 homers, 3 against the D-backs.
It's a wild sport, man. You score 13 one night, and the next night you come back, and you barely scratch any hits, but you still win because you get 2 runs, and you get a great pitching performance. It is a it's why I love the sport. It's why it's my favorite, because it literally is. NFL, you know, NBA, you know you're going to score 100 points a night. You just know it's going to happen almost every night. And the NFL, I mean, you know, for the most part, your team, you got a good quarterback, you're going to score. Baseball, you have no idea. You have no idea day to day, but you know Bradford looked really, really solid, and he is, when he's been healthy this year, he's been a very steady pitcher.
1 o'clock pregame today.
Oh baby,
1:35, the home debut for Kamar Rocker.
All right,
Wyatt Langford, another hit last night. Last 30 days, what do you think his? What would you guess his OPS is over the last 30 days?
811,
969 for the month of September. He's 1,084.
Oh baby.
Very nice.
Clicking into place, finally.
That's happening today on your home for Rangers Baseball, 105.3 The Fan. The life these guys live out here every week.
Oh, I know.
I'm walking to the bathroom. Bobby is getting his stroke right.
Yeah, I am.
Off the fan cam, which helps out our viewers.
Yeah.
But I go in here to the bathroom, and it's a little bit of a trek, but I pass the weight room.
Oh, yeah.
I pass the bar with 400 different bottles of the high-end liquor. I go into the men's locker room, which I don't think I'm supposed to be in.
Well,
and I'm
was
just
the weight
like,
room empty?
These guys, well, I was going to make a cowboy joke. I didn't want to look in there and distract them and cause them to get their ass whipped by the Saints. I know what a crazy scene that
very
is.
Very distracting.
Like we're at a zoo exhibit, apparently, like disturbing the peace if you're looking inside glass to a weight room. But I'm just like, every single week, they're at the best country clubs and facilities, and then their job is to go out here and play golf like they're doing at Meridell today and this weekend in Carrollton. That's where we are today.
It really is a life. I mean, somebody else carries your bag everywhere you go.
You're staying at the hotel, and the Suburbans are all bringing you up.
They just bring you, they just give you a car for the weekend. It really is remarkable, and I this is what I wanted to do. Not what I'm doing now, but like out there. Like that. That's what I wanted to do as a kid, and this is the life. It really is. It's a little hot, right? It's a little hot out.
Yeah,
they got to play in the summertime in Memphis. Sometimes, but they allow them to wear shorts this tour. So the PGA Tour,
has that looked a lot different, or is that an eyesore for whenever you see the highlights or the tournament, and you're like, that just doesn't sit well with me. You've never liked change in the past, except in your own life.
It's odd. It's odd. It definitely is odd to see. But it's...
It just makes so much sense.
It makes so much more sense. It doesn't look as good. There's no doubt about that. Like, nobody wants to see your legs.
Unless you got, like, power calves.
Yeah,
like you.
Unless you're Phil. You know, Phil, I mean, that was the thing that stunned me, is when they started to allow, even on the PGA Tour, they started to allow you to wear shorts during practice rounds. You know, Phil showed up the calves. And I was pretty stunned by that, but
it
definitely looks less. It definitely looks less professional, but who cares? You know, managers wear uniforms of baseball. Do we really need to see some of these managers out there wearing tight pants? It looks like they're carrying grapes in the wrong place.
No,
I don't need to see that.
Okay, so I'm not going to name all the different Cowboys players in this video, but DallasCowboys.com went around the locker room. You guys, feel free to stop it where you're alarmed enough to shut it down and comment. The different weird food combinations that Dallas Cowboy players like to eat.
What's your favorite weird food combination?
Mac and cheese with beans.
That's
touchy.
Weird. That's it's not weird. Weird. Ice cream and Lay's chips. Sweet and savory.
I gotta say, anytime I have omelets or eggs, I love syrup with it.
It's weird, but I like milk with Chinese food.
All right, stop. Milk with- Stop. All right. So far, I've kind of seen and heard mac and cheese with like beans in it. Ice cream chips, that's like your French fry or Frosty.
Yeah.
Milk while I'm eating Chinese food, I've never heard of.
Nobody over the age of 8 should drink a glass of milk.
When's the last time you're like, I want milk with this meal that's not peanut butter and jelly or cereal? When's the last time you've ever... You look like you could be a milk drinker.
Literally
still,
never.
Ruben.
That sounds like an insult. You look
it
like
is.
You milk yeah. drinker.
It is an insult. Do you drink milk? Okay. He says no.
Look, I don't even put milk in cereal. I just eat cereal dry.
You know what?
I don't think I've had a glass of milk, period, probably in 30 years.
Yeah, like what? Like cookies or like Pop-Tarts.
Donuts
or something like
for
that.
Me.
Like
no, a meal.
No, I'm saying I could have milk with that. But other than that, like, I don't. Addison loves, like, if she gets a cheeseburger somewhere, like, it's like, what do you want for the drink? She'll say, like, get milk. Like, she'll drink milk with,
but
like,
she's
a burger.
How old?
11.
Yeah. She's still a kid. All right, let's continue in the Cowboys locker room. Let's see if we can get weirder than milk with Chinese food.
I've never even thought about putting those two near each other.
I don't think it's weird, but I'm going, like, a chocolate icy with some fries. That's not weird.
Dude. Hold on, you said chocolate icy?
No.
Frosty. Icy oh, frosty with fries? No, that's regular, bro. That's salty with the sweet. That's just a...
Okay, so what's yours?
A hot dog. I put mayo on there.
You still talking, bro?
Shout out to Gramps. He's from Barbados, but I ain't saying they do this in Barbados. Cookies and cream ice cream with watermelon chunks. You don't mix it together, but you get like a little piece of the watermelon and get a little scoop of some cookies and cream ice cream. It's so good.
I don't know about that, but right, I'll go.
Stop. So like, it's like wine and cheese. Like you take a couple scoops of the ice cream and then it's like your palate cleanser or the watermelon chunk on the side. You're mixing cookies and cream with watermelon, even in the same sitting. That sounds nasty.
No, I can't do that. I just can't do that. What did I have the... I mean, I had strawberries and ice cream the other day. That's normal, right? Yep. That seems like a normal thing to do.
Wimbledon.
Kristen, is that what it is? Is that what the big
strawberries
thing is?
Strawberries and cream, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
Kristen thinks it's nuts that whenever I consume a lot of alcohol, one of the cravings I tend to get is ice cream. And she's like, why are you putting
sugar,
dairy and sugar on your stomach after alcohol? I'm like, I don't know. It's what I end up wanting.
All right, Pepe, hit it.
Spaghetti and catfish, for sure. That's a Midwest thing. It's real good.
Midwest.
I ain't knocking that.
Yeah,
Dude, the cream cheese with the little hot sauce. They put the hot sauce on top, and you got to eat it with Doritos. Fire.
Spaghetti and catfish. Mm. Are we talking like catfish with like a side of like linguine? Are we talking? It cannot be chopped up. It's not like Fruta de Mar.
No, it's not Fruta de Mar.
Right?
Yeah, very nice.
Although there is fish sometimes in those.
Yeah, there is. In those chupinos.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But
like fried catfish, chopping it up? I don't know.
It's fish. I guess you could use what you want. I'll tell you what.
I don't want fish in my pasta.
You don't?
No.
So you don't do like a linguine and clams?
No,
like
fish. Literally fish.
Fish. Okay.
Yeah, clams I like.
Yeah.
Scallop, shrimp, fine.
Okay,
lobster.
I get it. I'll tell you what I've been eating lately is because it's soda. Because I'm supposed to have a vegetable in the afternoon, like as a snack. Mm-hmm. Celery and Frank's Red Hot.
Okay.
Oh, tremendous.
I mean, that sounds like a lot of salt that you shouldn't be having.
No, they actually, you got to have the sodium.
Really?
Because of the way the plan is, you end up purging a lot of salt naturally. So they're like, you got to make sure that you're putting some sodium in there.
Celery cream cheese, celery peanut butter.
Those some.
But I saved the best food clip for last. This is for you, Bobby. Dan Orlovsky.
Oh, no.
On the best way, Peyton, to eat a hot dog, and he's not taking it to
diagonally.
He's not taking it to the air fryer.
Couple things. Hot dogs are better on the grill than they are broiled.
I agree.
I'll give you that 100%.
Broiled. Two, they're actually at their best when they are cut into small pieces and added into macaroni and cheese.
Ridiculous.
Oh, that's childish.
Three, if you really want to have a great hot dog, you grill it, put
disgusting.
A piece of American cheese on the roll, then that, and ketchup.
Wow. I've never heard of worse ways to eat a hot dog.
Buddy, you never cut up a hot dog and put it in mac and cheese?
Buddy, I have. No, never.
Not even.
Buddy, that sounds terrible.
I don't think I've ever even heard of it.
I've seen that done for children.
Yeah, like
yeah, for children.
Like literal 2 year olds. Not even like I feel like most children even outgrow that. That is literally something you put in front of a toddler. And he's just like it's fake, isn't it? Isn't every take he has fake?
I go back and forth. I don't know if his food takes are I don't know.
Yeah, he knew that one too well to fake that one. I don't know. First of all, the ketchup on the hot dog, huge pet peeve of mine.
Dirty Harry hates that.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he thinks it's childish. That was
I think
a big
it
deal.
Is childish. I think it is childish. I don't know. And I'll tell you this. The underrated hot dog way is the boiled hot dog.
Yeah,
I love the boiled hot dog.
I'll microwave one.
I don't mind microwaving it either, but you boil a hot dog, and all of a sudden, Ruben is looking at me like he has no idea what I'm talking
when
about.
When you microwave the hot dog, though, don't you feel like it almost like, I don't know, it does something to the outside
it's
that I don't like.
It's not cuisine. It's a hot dog.
I get into this with my wife all the time. My wife could win Chopped. That cooking show yeah. for leftovers, like everything has to be air fried.
Chef
everything
Amanda, you've been chopped.
My mother in law, like Ollie, will eat these corn tortillas, and she's like heating up the pan on the stove, and I'm like, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm heating him the tortilla. It has to be made this way." I said, "Throw it in the microwave." Like when I go and get a piece of pizza, if I want leftover pizza for lunch, I don't have the patience to be throwing it in the toaster, throwing it in the microwave, turning on the stove. I turn on the stove to cook a meal from scratch. I don't turn on the stove for leftovers. That's what a microwave is for.
Can I just say, by the way, you mentioning the corn tortilla, clearly the worst of the tortilla options. The corn tortilla.
It falls apart. It falls apart.
No, it's the taste of it. It tastes like sand. Corn tortillas don't taste.
It just falls apart.
Yeah, flour.
Yeah, flour tortilla is the way to go.
Flour tortilla.
Carb balance. You got to carb balance it.
What does that mean?
They have those.
Those brands? Those taste.
No.
I'd rather eat this grass.
It's a regular Mission, but it's got the blue label. Says carb balance.
We haven't gotten to this story, but Texas Roadhouse butter is being put in grocery stores.
Yeah, it is.
And it got, first off, phenomenal. Love it. I'll be buying it. But I was like, what other things from fast food or restaurants need to be made available in grocery? I was thinking like Chick-fil-A patties.
Okay, so I was thinking Chick-fil-A, but Chick-fil-A bottles their sauces. You can buy any of their sauces, whatever else.
Yes.
The one they don't bottle is the one that's the best. It's that sweet and spicy sriracha sauce one.
Chick-fil-A sauce?
The Chick-fil-A sauce is not as good. But they bottle all six of the others. They don't. That is the one that I've been dying for them to put into stores is that.
What else? What else you get fast food-wise or restaurant-wise where you're like, freeze this. Please make this available that I can try to duplicate at home.
A lot of people like the cane sauce. I don't know if they sell that. Lane's got one, too. I don't know if they sell it or not. That's something I buy.
I feel like you can replicate cane sauce pretty close. Like, it's not going to be an exact match, but you can get pretty close.
Texas Roadhouse butter.
Oh, yeah. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. And I guess they're selling the they've got the rolls with it, too. Like the little freezer thing or whatever. Addison found this out the other day, and she almost had a heart attack. She was so thrilled.
Let's see what happens with Babe Laufenberg's trivia as we preview Cowboys Ravens with the Cowboys color analyst and a guy who will not be hosting Jeopardy anytime soon after this. Let's get you ready for the monster matchup Sunday on this radio station, Cowboys Ravens, with Dallas Cowboys color analyst Babe Laufenberg joining us every Thursday at this time on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Good morning, Babe. How are you?
I am great. Thank you. Do you guys want to take your shots at me for the trivia last week? Get them all out right now?
No, I think we did it enough.
Oh, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, that's one of those things that can kind of just stand on its own.
I love it. I love it. Hey, I'm on to Cincinnati.
There you go.
I'm on to Cincinnati. Okay, right. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so Lamar Jackson, he's won 3 division titles. He has not started it or played in a Super Bowl. Dak Prescott has won 4 division titles. He has not played in or started a Super Bowl. Only one quarterback has won 5 division titles, but never played in a Super Bowl. Can you name him?
Philip Rivers.
I was thinking of him.
That was a good guess, but it's not right. It's a good guess.
That's a great question.
That is a great question. Hang on, I'm going to get this here.
5 division titles, never played in a Super Bowl. Now, he was on the team that made a Super Bowl, but he didn't play.
Bledsoe?
Probably another good guess, but he did play in the Super Bowl. They got beat by Green Bay.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
5 division titles. Huh.
McNabb played in one.
McNabb. Sims played in one because you said on the team but didn't play.
Correct.
So Wentz wouldn't have won 5.
How about the decade?
By the way, was the '90s? Really? No, excuse me, 2000s to the 2010 decade.
Okay,
played for 15 years or something. Do I have to bring Peyton in?
Peyton, no.
We're gonna get this.
Peyton, give us the answer.
No, Andy Dalton.
No, it'll be Alex Smith, guys. Alex Smith.
There you go.
Oh, that's a good one.
He won that many division titles?
Yeah. I mean, they won it every year. Hey. Once Manning retired, they won like four in a row, didn't they, in the AFC West?
He wasn't there that long in Kansas City. He would have had to win a lot of them in San Francisco.
Well, they won in San Francisco.
Yeah.
But
not everything is around Peyton.
No. But he won like three in a row after Peyton left. He was there until 2018.
He was a really good quarterback in my mind. But never got to the Super Bowl. So, as you all know, anymore, that's all we judge him on.
All right. I do have something to bust your balls about, though. Not trivia.
Oh, go ahead.
The run game. I was shocked early in the season previewing. We're like, who cares about the run game? It's about the pass. It really doesn't matter. Did the Saints game change your mind about run defense? Don't be stupid.
You can't be that bad. You know what I'm saying? You can be an average running team, and you can be an average run defense, and you can go win the Super Bowl.
Yes.
You really can. So, but you know, you can't get hammered for 200 yards on the ground. So, yeah, but no, it didn't change my mind in terms of, again, I say it a million times, and McCarthy says it, right? He says it in a different way. But big plays come in the passing game.
Yeah.
And points come off big plays. Shoot, we saw New Orleans, 70-yard one-play drive, right? It was great. Cowboys dominated time of possession early, but guess what? They were down because they were giving up big plays to the Saints. Screen pass, right, to Kamara. So the big plays come in the passing game. Points come off big plays. I led a team. If I could take away the pass, I'm going to take away the pass. I don't care about the run.
How bad is this?
Here's the problem. Excuse me. They gave up both the pass and the run against New Orleans. You got to take something away.
How bad is this Ravens matchup from a run defense standpoint?
Well, I guess anytime, you know, you got Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in the same backfield, you're probably going to have some issues with them. And here's the thing, too. You know, everybody talks about, hey, we're going to run the ball. We're going to run the ball. We're going to be a physical team. We're going to run the ball. And five plays into it, they start throwing it all around. Baltimore has been a top three rushing defense in each of the last, excuse me, offense. Top three rushing offense in each of the last 6 years. So when John Harbaugh says we're going to run the ball, they're going to run the ball. And obviously what makes them unique is Lamar Jackson. It's so funny, too. You know, you guys have been there. You go to a kid's game, you look out, and there's a kid out there, and you just say, man, that kid is really good. He's a lot better than these other little kids. And you go to a high school game, and you say, wow, that one kid really is good. And then college, it gets a little closer, and then you get to the pros, and there's great athletes all over the field, right? And you might be marginally better than the other guy. Lamar Jackson is still the best athlete on the field. You still look at it and say, wow, that number eight's a lot better than the other kids out there, which is crazy when you get to that level, right?
Yeah, he's the most astonishing of the most astonishing athletes in the world. Like that's what happens when you're in the NFL. His throwing, compared to early in his career, how is it different?
You know, he's getting better, obviously, and the thing that is funny is he just has such an unorthodox motion, right? It's just not something that you would ever teach or coach, but he's accurate with it. And obviously, you play the run so heavily that, you know, I don't want to say it's easier for him to play quarterback, but when you're focused on, you know, sometimes, obviously, and it'll happen in this game, you put a spy on him. Well, that's taking either a guy out of pass coverage or a guy out of the rush. So he's really playing against 10 guys because all that guy's doing is waiting for Lamar to break the pocket. What do you think about this too, fellas? What do you think about Micah as a spy?
Oh.
Overshown?
Overshown would have to play to spy, Bobby.
Yeah.
You could go. Very good. Very good. That's a trivia question. How do you use a spy if he's not on the field? No, but you put both those guys on the field, and one drops, one, you know, they set the protection to Micah, then Micah becomes a spy. Here's the thing, too. You, the guy you put out there as a spy is not your best athlete, right? It's your fourth defensive back or fifth defensive back. It's those guys. Now, nobody ever puts their best player, so I'm not saying every play, but Lamar kills you. I mean, he's going to – Micah gets an outside pass rush on him. He's going to step up and get away from that, right? You can almost guarantee that Micah is going to have a part in that play. If you can get a little rush on Lamar, force him either up in the pocket or out, obviously Micah is big enough to tackle him and fast enough to track him down. That's the big law. Now, trust me, no inside information there. But
Zimmer suggested it the other day.
Well, he kind of – I don't know what he was doing with that. I don't know if he was having fun or –
yeah,
but I need to suggest it to him. And again, it's not going. You're not going to give a steady diet of it. The Cleveland game, they dropped Micah and DeMarcus Lawrence both out of. And Bobby probably saw this, but they dropped them both into pass coverage. They're both on the line. They dropped them in pass coverage. They set the Cleveland set the protection to Micah. All of a sudden, he's dropping, and they got a sack. So your two best pass rushers, right, DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah, drop into coverage, and they got a sack because it screwed up Cleveland's protection. So there's some things you can do.
We're talking with Babe Laufenberg here on 105 Through the Fan. We're normally below the belt rests, except on Thursdays, but below the belt, typically brought to you by A Number One Air. Babe, the offensive line play for the rookies, Beebe, Guyton, what are your thoughts on how they've played? It felt like on a couple different of those reps against New Orleans that some of the games and the stunts were getting to the communication angle for those guys.
Yeah, and I hate to say, I mean, it sounds like I'm an apologist, but you got to remember, these guys are rookies. Guyton has never played left tackle. Beebe has never played center. And they're out there going against, obviously, NFL defensive linemen and stunts, as you said, and twists and all this, and they're seeing it for the first time. But, you know, you just hope it's two steps forward, one step back for them. But, yeah, Guyton has not been, I don't think, as good as people were hoping for. He hasn't been awful, but he hasn't been you know, great. But again, he's his second game into his pro career, as is Beebe. You just hope that they're going to get better, and you have to think that they will. I think they're both good players, right? We'd agree watching them, they're both good players. But, hey, it takes time. It takes time.
Babe, we know that McCarthy Watch is going to be week to week. Where are you with Coach Watch after 2 weeks?
Well, it is funny. I think the whole NFL is funny, by the way. You know, it's a different era of coaching. It really is. You know, you think of Tom Landry or any of those, Don Shula, go back. You know, you didn't have the two-point decision to be second-guessed, right? You didn't have challenges that are going to be second-guessed. By the way, John Harbaugh was 0 for 2 last week, and the media was getting on him up there on his challenges. Mm-hmm. You know, do I take the ball? Do I defer? They didn't have – the analytic community now weighs in after every play. You know, it's this instantaneous feedback of you sucked or you're great. And I can't imagine it's as much fun as it once was coaching. And here's the thing, too. McCarthy, you know, he's going to be – if he wins eight more games. If they go 9-8 this year, he's 12th on the all-time win list, right? If he wins the Super Bowl at some point before he retires, you know, he's in the Hall of Fame. He's got 2 Super Bowl wins. He'll be a top 10 winner in the coach. So there's kind of a lot at stake for McCarthy. I don't think he thinks that way. I don't think his ego allows him to think that way. Shoot, you guys can ask him tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we know what the Hall of Fame means. Yeah, we know what the Hall of Fame means to all these guys when they finally get in or knocking on the door. But he wins another Super Bowl. It's a ticket to Canton for him. Now, here, Sirianni, right? I know you don't like his face, but
Tolo.
You know what's funny about Sirianni, too? You look at Dan Campbell, and people that have never met Dan Campbell say, you know, I like that guy. And you look at Sirianni, and people that have never met Sirianni say, yeah, I don't like that guy. But he's been up there 3 years in Philly. He's made the playoffs 3 consecutive years. He's been to a Super Bowl. And he's week to week. And so it's just the coaching thing is, again, I can't imagine it's a whole lot of fun for these guys anymore.
Babe, Bryce Young has reignited the young and rookie quarterback discussion and the way it's handled throughout the league. You're a quarterback.
Yeah.
What's your take on it?
Yeah, I don't want to say I wasn't a huge fan at the start, but, you know, he's on an awful team. We go on and on with that. But you look at the three rookie quarterbacks starting right now, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams. They've thrown 176 passes. They have yet to throw a touchdown. I mean, it's just so hard. I've always been in the philosophy, if I were a coach, if I were a GM, whoever has the say in the thing, I would not start a rookie. I just wouldn't. Caleb Williams obviously has a little bit of a head start on his deal because he is with a good team. They have the Chicago defense is awesome. I think it's underrated because the offense is so bad. But and I do think Caleb Williams will come out the other end. But, hey, Gerard Mayo's doing Drake May a favor up in New England by not playing him. You look at the guys, too. Tom Brady, right? Maybe the two greatest quarterbacks of all time. Tom Brady threw three passes his rookie year. Joe Montana didn't become a full-time starter until his third year in the league. And I think they ruin more guys by putting them out there before they're ready than the Troy Aikmans of the world who went 0-11 as a rookie. I was there. I was on the team. I saw it. And who are able to fight through that and get through it mentally and come out the other side. Hey, I was here. People wanted Troy Aikman benched for Steve Walsh. Of course they did.
Yeah.
He hadn't won a game. And I just sitting there, hey, stay the course. But not everybody's like Troy Aikman in terms of that mental toughness of being able to fight through that.
Babe, fantastic trivia recovery. We know you have a fantastic call on Sunday. Thank you. We'll do it again next week.
Thank you. I knew I needed to prove myself to you guys. I knew I needed to show you I could do this.
And you beat us on the scoreboard with PayPay. Thank you, brother. Babe Laufenberg on the D&M Leasing Hotline. One of the most entertaining personalities in the world of golf ever. David Ferretti joins us from our live setup here in Carrollton. Next on Sean and RJ.